He was our favorite Sutton, and so his sister, the two of his sisters aren't here yet today, so we can say that. I enjoy Josiah a lot, and the time that we've been able to spend together. The first time, actually, the very first time that me and Josiah did a job together, we might have done something in a group, but me and him specifically were changing a tire on a pickup. It was like the day before Badlands, I think, and he we're talking about if we know foreign languages, and he actually knows a fair amount of Italian, and he told me all of it that day, and it was oh, and so that was the extent of it. But it's the important things that we need to know in other languages. So I really appreciate Josiah. I appreciate Taylor. We appreciate Josiah brought Taylor with him. And they made a long journey out from back east. Even though it's, we don't get to see him as often as we used to when they're in Montana, we know that they're doing good work, and we appreciate the commitment they have to the Lord and to his church. So bring Josiah Sutton on with a hand.
Good morning, everybody. It's a great day to be in the Lord. I'm very thankful to be here, very thankful for all the people who make this happen, the Heimballs, the Lins, and all the people who are, in the foreground and the background, making things happen. Very excited. Thank you guys for that. For those of you that don't know, my name is Josiah. I currently live in Roanoke, Virginia, but I used to be, like a lot of you guys, living in Montana. I lived there for around 10 years in Bozeman before my wife snatched me away, and I got married to her in Virginia, and I've lived in Roanoke for close to 3 years now. And as I've been stepping into new and unfamiliar territory, I seem to have been learning a lot. And there are some experiences in my life that I really want to share with you guys today, in the short time frame that I have. I want to share them with you. And share what I've learned from them. So a lot of what I'm going to tell you guys today is simply just things that have happened in my life. There have been a few things that have been on my mind the past few months, and these things are what I would refer to as impact events in my life that closely relate to one another. But before I get to those, I'm going to let you in on a little part of Josiah's mind. That being, personally, I really like the idea of being someone's hero. It really appeals to me. If I can help someone in a way that's significant enough to them that it seems to have impacted their lives, whether it be a small thing or a big thing, in their own minds, I want to sign up for that. I really like being the hero, and I would love to assist in that project. Let me give you a few examples. The other day, a friend of mine had one of his main water line in his yard had a leak, and it was causing him to pay an extra $100 or so a month on his water bill. He called me, I went out there, and I fixed it, and it really, his reaction, he was so happy. He's like, man, you just saved me $100 a month, and of course he's happy. I'd be happy too. I felt like a hero. Also, when I lived in Montana, I used to clean out dryer vents for a living. And along with dirty dryer vents, there's a potential for a dryer fire. And I always made sure the customer knew that. So I'd show them the before picture. I'd show them the after picture. And they'd say, wow, you saved me from a dryer fire. Thank you so much. I said, you're welcome. I felt like a hero. I love being people's heroes. And these are simply some small scenarios where I was someone's hero in a not so significant way, but there have been a couple of instances in my life where I've tried to be the hero and actually saving people's lives. Let me tell you about these stories. I'll tell you two. When I lived in Bozeman, I worked at the Bozeman Hot Springs. And these hot springs, basically, it's a bunch of pools, a bunch of man-made pools, and they take the water from the hot springs and they fill up these pools and, you relax in them. It's a good time. But each of these pools are different temperatures. And every hour, one of our jobs was to check the the temperature of the pool, make sure it was warm, but not too warm. And when we do this, and we take the temperatures, we also take the temperatures of the sauna and the steamer to make sure that's okay too. Well, one day, I went to check the steam room, and I noticed an old lady in the back corner just laying on the bench, completely normal. Everyone does that. But the next hour I went to check, she was in the exact same position. Not many people stay in there for an hour. And if you do, you certainly move at least a little bit. So I went over there and I went in there and I tried to get her attention. I even tapped her on the shoulder to try and get her attention, but she didn't respond at all. So I asked somebody who was in there to help me bring her out to cooler air. I tried to do everything that I could. We called 911. And I used some of the skills that I learned to try and keep her airways open until they could arrive. Those guys took care of the scene. They took her to the hospital. And I never heard anything about it for a long, long time after that. It was something that I thought about a lot. You know, I wonder what happened to that lady. Sometime months later, on a Sunday morning, I see her walk through the doors of our church building. This random lady who I had never met before, I never knew her name, I never talked to her, she walked through the front doors of our church building. And I had to rub my eyes, make sure I wasn't dreaming, make sure that was, and sure enough, it was her. It amazed me. She was there, and she was alive. So a few of us talked to her, and she told us a little bit about the story, about how somebody, she didn't remember anything, had pulled her out, a young man had pulled her out of the steam room, and later on, it was revealed to her, that young man was me. And she was amazed. And she was excited and thankful. Because clearly the Lord worked through that situation. Because she ended up at our church building months later. That was amazing. And also, I got a sizable bonus from the hot springs too, which was a nice little, you know, sprinkle on top. But, again, I like to be people's heroes in any way that I can. And this is the perfect scenario in which I could have done that. However, when someone tries to go to the rescue in a scenario like this, it doesn't always turn out the way that you want it to. I usually don't reference any songs and any encouragements or devotions that I do, but recently I've listened to a song by a band named Need to Breathe. And in that song, he has a line that's always stuck out to me. And it says, so long as you're a fighter, you'll know what it is to lose. The nature of being a fighter is that sometimes, perhaps often, sometimes you lose. There was another scenario in my life where I, along with other people's help, tried to save someone else's life recently. Not too many months ago, some of my family went out to Blacksburg, Virginia from Roanoke, Virginia, to participate in an escape room. It was me, my wife, my brother-in-law that lives with me, Matthias, and then my other brother-in-law, my sister, and then a few of their friends. And we went up to the escape room, and we successfully completed it. We came back to Roanoke, but on our way back, I was driving behind a semi, and the semi all of a sudden very quickly and sharply went to the left lane. And assuming that he did that for a reason, I also went to the left lane pretty quickly. But it didn't take very long before I realized the reason that he had done that. There was a man laying in the middle of the interstate, in the right lane, slightly into the left. And it took our brains a moment to process what was going on, but once we did, we said, we got to get out and move this guy. So we turned onto the shoulder as fast as we could, and we sprinted toward this guy, waving our arms in the air, trying to get everybody to stop because they were just blowing past him. And we were the first ones on the scene. There was no medics, no police, no nothing. It was just us. And shortly thereafter, there were a few people who pulled over as well from the medical field, along with my wife as well, who started to perform CPR to try and save this man's life. And unfortunately, he was dead before we had even got out of the vehicle. But we don't know what happened to this man for sure. The suspicion is that it was right next to a rest stop. The suspicion is that he had stopped at the rest stop and walked up to the road, and when the opportunity presented itself, he jumped in front of a semi was the suspicion, leading to his death. We noticed things like a wedding ring on his finger. And I don't know the details of the situation, but my heart hurt for that guy. There's a lot of details. My heart hurt for the guy who was driving the semi and was the unsuspecting guy who was the unwilling participant of what had happened. He had hit the guy. My heart hurts for that guy. My heart also hurts for the guy who was on the road, his family. I don't know what his family is going to go through because of that. My heart also hurts for the guy on the road, even if it is true that he did it on purpose. The hopelessness in coming up to that decision is, it hurts my heart. I've been reflecting on these stories recently, and sometimes I think back to the situation with the guy in the semi, and I often find myself wishing that I hadn't stopped at all, since I wasn't able to do anything. He ended up dying anyways. But I think further, and I've been learning a lot that has begun to mold more of who I am. When I think about it, I find reasons for stopping in that scenario that make that, in fact, the correct decision to stop. First, we can only act on the knowledge that we have. And in our perception, we saw a man who needed help. So we got out and we tried to help. But when I consider what happened, but I try to consider what happened despite not saving that guy's life. The people that I care about, you know, those two vehicles, my family in Roanoke, we all got out of our vehicles to try and help this man. We're banding together to help this guy. That's teamwork. And it shows each and every one of us that we help people. Even in a scenario that looks rough, and it's similar to a Good Samaritan type scenario. We need to stop to help these people. My brother-in-law, Mike, he went up to the guy who was driving the semi and was there to comfort him and to pray with him because he had just gone through something super traumatic. The truck driver needed a guy like Mike in that moment. Also, I talked to one of the guys who stopped to help us, and he just so happened to be working at the Hotel Roanoke, which was where I was going to have a business meeting that week. I never have business meetings over there. So there's an opportunity to talk to that man as well. I bring all of these things up to say, all these stories up to say, if you're a fighter, you will not always win. In fact, you might lose quite a bit. But if you lose in this case, or in this case you don't save someone, is there no benefit at all? Not necessarily. God uses every scenario to the best of its ability, even if it's difficult to see the hurt that's right in front of your face. God's able to use it for good. So even though there have been moments where I wish that we wouldn't have stopped, since I now know that we weren't able to save that guy, I take that back. And I'm thankful that we stopped, because we're fighters. I'm a fighter. And as a fighter, there are times where we will know what it is to lose. As Christians, we're fighters. And as fighters, at times, we'll have to know what it is to lose. We have to be aware of that. We have to go into the situations prepared for potential hurt so that we aren't discouraged and quit if it comes. We can't let potential hurt stop us from doing the good work. Since fighting means losing sometimes, that's why it's really easy to not want to fight in the first place. But during these times, it really hurts, but it's supposed to hurt. The reason that I'm bringing these things up to you guys is because I want you guys to consider Jesus' outreach in Matthew 28. Turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. And, of course, we'll stop. We'll start in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This outreach extends to you. And interestingly enough, you know, shifting this idea of being a hero from the physical to the spiritual, sometimes this endeavor is more scary than trying to participate in a physical rescue. It's difficult on the heart when it doesn't go the way that you planned it to. And as I begin to consider my scenarios and got discouraged from loss, I thought about it. While it may be true that fighters know what it's like to lose, guess what? Fighters also know what it's like to win. Those who don't fight know neither what it is to lose nor to win. It's a difficult endeavor that we're called to take up, but lucky for us, we have the best helper by our side. We know this because of the end of the Great Commission says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we also have the body of the church as a support. We are by no means alone in this. I'm going to wrap up with this. Loss often leads to fear, and fear is crippling. So crippling that it tempts us sometimes to give up the fight altogether. But if we're too scared to move, then who's going to be the catalyst for the spiritual wins that need to happen? Satan has been trying to sell, through some of these scenarios, Satan's been trying to sell me lies that lead me to fear so that I stop on that basis. Satan's trying to sell you guys lies that when fear comes that you ought to stop. Those are lies. The main lesson I've learned is that you can't let the fear of losing stop you from trying. And you may know what it is to lose, but you're also the only ones to know what it's like to win. The way to avoid loss is to stay idle, hidden in the shadows. But we as Christians, as Christian fighters, we have a more important mission, and we can't give up on that. So let's choose to be fighters. Why would we be a fighter if by being a fighter we know what it is to lose? Because again, even though quitters don't get hurt as often, quitters never win. Fighters lose sometimes, but they also get to be the only ones who win. So let's choose to be fighters, even in spite of potential hurt. Don't let fear get in your way. Keep moving forward, knowing that we are the ones who are the catalysts for the victory of King Jesus. And I find great encouragement in this, and I hope that you guys too.